Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni, where everything we talk about is related to organizational health and the world of work. I'm Pat Lencioni, your host, joined by my regulars, Cody and Tracy. Good afternoon, you guys.
Hey there, Pat.
We're pretty excited about this. We've got Karen and Matt in studio today helping us out. Tracy, what is our topic today?
This one's going to be a fun one. Today, we are doing the new three-letter secret to success.
Yeah, Pat, only three letters, and they're revolutionary. And we talk about this, so I can't wait to actually have this conversation where we record it. But what are those three letters?
Okay, get ready, everybody. The new three-letter secret to success is try. T-R-Y. And this is whether you're a business owner or a potential employee or a young person entering the workforce. And we're not trying to be cynical here. We're not grumpy old men sitting around or an old woman going, these young people today. But for some reason, the bar has been lowered in our society. And if you really want to stand out, we suggest that you try. We're going to tell some stories about that today. What do you think, Cody?
Yeah, I mean, it feels like this is a comedy podcast because this feels so rudimentary that the fact that we even have to have this on a podcast about work means that things are bad. I mean, and this is, like you said, Pat, I don't think we're the only ones who realize how significant of a difference maker trying would be, because I feel like we're out in the world and there's a hundred things we'll talk about why that might be more, you know, the case now than it was even a couple of years ago. Right. But I feel like people are walking around, my friends, family, other people that I run into who are like, what is going on out here? It doesn't feel like people really are trying that hard. And in a world where people aren't trying very hard, when you say, I love this new three-letter secret to success, all it takes to be successful is to be a little bit better than those people. And trying is the key.
Right. We might make a hat or something that we can sell to people that just says try on it. And we might start a movement because really this is, and there's a huge opportunity here. I mean, we could go negative on this and say, isn't it terrible? No, there's a huge opportunity. You can really stand out as an employee in the workforce today if you try. And your company, I mean, like we had this, and we're not bragging about this. We had people call us and get very excited at the table group because they're like, I can't believe you guys actually answered the phone.
Right.
And we laugh about it because the standards have gotten so low. All we have to do is say hello and people feel like we're really going above and beyond.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, somehow just being a little above average is now a major differentiator. And so the idea that, you know, there's so many instances, Pat, where you just said like answering the phone is the lowest bar, but in a world that is headed down, all you have to do is be marketably big, like better at that than other people. And it really is like all of us have this innate desire. We when we're paying for a service or we want to patronize a business, you're giving money in exchange for a service or a good, and it feels good when the person on the other end of that transaction actually feels like they care. And There's so many businesses right now, and it's not just service industry, and we're not picking on any specific industry here. It feels like it's from Fortune 500 companies all the way down to mom and pop shops, where this is, I love the way you put it, but it is a differentiator. And for people, like if you're not thinking about businesses, but if you're a person looking for a job or an employer looking for people who have a little bit of hunger and as Karen likes to say, give a crap, that's a real differentiator now.
That's right. And you know, we've kind of all as a society, and we want to step back and look at this kind of dispassionately, but we all have pretty much lowered our expectations of what we get. So when you go somewhere and somebody goes a little bit above and beyond, I mean, I bet you right now, if you were to talk to waiters and waitresses, that the ones that are really good are probably doing better than they've ever done. Because When I go to a restaurant and somebody gives good service now, I'm like, wow, I'm going to give them 30%, you know, because they really stand out. Where there was a time when we kind of expected that, but things have really changed. So this really is an opportunity.
So Pat, how did we get here? How did we get to this place where people aren't trying anymore?
I think it's a combination of things. I think it's certainly COVID was a big part of that because people are like, I don't have to go to work anymore and we don't have to do this. And I remember during COVID, people like going, pulling up to a fast food restaurant and saying, yeah, we're closed. We can't find employees. So there's the work shortage. And there's kind of a general malaise. And you know, we could go back and complain about it, but things like this just come about. You know, when I look at it, it's like most people, you know, we haven't lived through a really difficult economic time. We've had a few. We had 2008 and the downturn, and we had, of course, COVID was hard, but there was a lot of stimulus and things like that. And I think that it's been, people have not necessarily, now there are certain people that have, but generally speaking, most people of a relatively young age really haven't lived through a lot of what we would call want, you know? I mean, I think the depression did for the next 70 years, there was a whole bunch of people that were either raised during the depression or raised by people who lived during the depression who never let them think, hey, that's good enough. You always got to keep trying. And perhaps we're just in a time where people just can't remember not getting the shoes they wanted or the big screen TV or all the entertainment. So maybe it's just a matter of, you know, it's been a long time since people really struggled to get the simple things.
As you were saying that, you know, thinking about this word try, it almost, even when we started the podcast, I wasn't thinking this way, but as I heard you sort of tell that narrative, I was thinking, it's not really about the outcome all the time either, because things have changed. And sometimes you, like we physically can't have the same, you know, I know that production was messed up and fulfillment centers and shipping lines and all these things that thing like this stuff happens, but there's this other side of it where it's a human element where there's like, even if you can't provide the same level of service or good that you used to be able to provide, the trying part of that is actually identifying like, hey, I realize this is super inconvenient. If you're in a service industry, like it's really inconvenient that this is happening now and I'm really sorry. That's an act of trying to like, you know, not just necessarily fix the outcome of it, but to be able to say, hey, I understand why this is frustrating to you, where it feels like what happened was both of those things fell off, like the actual ability to deliver on outcomes and the empathy as another human being that this is now inconvenient.
Right. It's almost like we've relied on technology or you know, process, whereas the human element makes a huge difference. I'm going to tell you a story because this is why we're doing this podcast today, is because... So I finally came to work and said, we got to talk about that try thing because we've been talking about this for a few weeks. So I ordered reading glasses, I progressive reading glasses so I can sit in a meeting and look at my computer, look across the room without scrambling for glasses. Okay. So I'm very excited. I lost one of my favorite pair. So I went online. I want to say the name of the company so people don't use them, but I'm not going to. But I went online and I ordered these progressive reading glasses. I got two pair. And it was almost $200. And it took me a while. I have to put in my reading, it's not prescription, but the reading glasses thing. And I had to put progressive and pick the right ones and the size, all this stuff. I submit it. It says right on there, if you buy these two pair, you can get these in 48 hours. And I thought, oh, I can't wait till Friday. I'm going to get new glasses. I was literally, there's not a lot that I like in the world, but reading glasses are nice. I'm old, whatever. 38 hours later, I get an email on my phone and I look at it. And all it said, gosh, I should read it. It just said, we cannot get the glasses you ordered cannot be shipped within 48 hours. We will try our best to refund your money in the next 2 days. If you still want the glasses, they'll be delivered in 3 to 5 weeks. But in order to do that, you have to go resubmit your order all over again.
Oh,
it didn't say we're sorry. It didn't say, wow, what an inconvenience. We reset your expectations wrong. This is a bummer for you. We really want your business. Here's a coupon for something. Or, hey, I'll tell you what, we'll still send them to you. But if you want to cancel it anytime, let us know. Basically, it was just like, it's not happening. Tough.
Yeah.
So I get online. And I don't go to the customer service line. I tried that. They couldn't get through. So I look for the corporate headquarters. It's in Maryland. They do not have a phone number at the corporate headquarters.
Oh,
you can't even call there. There is no way to get a hold of somebody so that you can just say, hey, this is a bummer. You guys need to know this. I just wanted to talk to a human being that could empathize. And I got on a call center line finally, and it was overseas, and I felt sorry for the person I was talking to. I said, listen, this is not your fault. I don't want to get mad at you. Forget about it. And so, and I just thought, boy, somebody could have tried. And who is it? Somebody in marketing at that company could have said, you know, when this happens, we should actually send people something. We should say we're sorry. We should do something. Maybe even call the person. Because they didn't lose $200 of my business. They're going to lose. I'm going to tell other people, don't go there.
Yeah.
And so anyway, all they could have done is, I know, try.
Yeah. And you know, Pat, like that same sentiment, that is the, like the human element. Cause it, you know, disruption in supply chain, all of those things could have led to you not getting your glasses, but not being able to have someone on the other line say, hey, we're really sorry for the inconvenience. This is a microcosm of this, I feel like happens. You know how during COVID, you would walk into a restaurant and they're like, there's a QR code on your table and the waiter and waitress won't actually, you have to like scan it with your phone. I was like, okay, I get that. We're in the middle of COVID. We don't want to pass out menus. And yet somehow I'm still walking into restaurants and the waiter will come and bring the water and then tell me to scan a QR code. And I look, I'm 36. I'm not an old man on a porch. I'm just like, are we not, is menus no longer a thing here? Or does it, someone going to say, hey, I know it kind of sucks. We like haven't gone back to actually ordering food through a human being, or cause like, I don't want pickles on there. Maybe that's a little harder to do on your phone. You know, it's just those, it feels like what happened was that the COVID became an excuse for people like giving up on trying. And then there is this opportunity now where if you were to go above and beyond or try to go back to the way things were, that you would actually have a real differentiator for your business. Mm-hmm. And instead it's just sort of like, well, it worked during COVID, so we don't really have to change it. And people's expectations are lower, so why care?
So one piece of practical advice we'd give to listeners, if you run a business or have a service or a department within a company, is probably sit around and say, hey, what could we do that would demonstrate to people that we're trying and that we care a little bit more? A little is going to go a long way right now. A little is going to go a long way right now. But there's something else I want to talk about because I think it's huge. This relates to employment and people. And you know, sometimes people will say, well, the reason why people don't have to try is because the job market, there's a shortage of employees and you can't ask anything of your employees because if they don't, they won't work there and then you won't have anybody there. And I don't think that was necessarily true. I think we actually were getting what we were expecting because I think most people want the dignity of working hard. Mm-hmm. And we were trying to please the lowest common denominators, thinking that, oh no, if we lose our laziest people, we'll never be able to make this work. And I don't think that's a good idea. But I really think that all of this is about to change. I think this concept of a shortage of workers is about to change. We are reading about every day, and this is not good. So many companies, even in technology, are laying off a lot of people. Today, as we speak, we're reading about more and more companies doing that. I think we are going to go from a shortage of workers to an overabundance of workers who need jobs. And I think that what we should do right now is say, let's keep the ones that try. Let's keep the ones that weren't complaining about having to put their pants on to come back to the office. Because we don't want people that are willing to put their pants on just because that's the only way they can get a paycheck. Let's use this time to find, reward, compensate, and value those people who try.
Yeah. And Pat, like you said, not only should that be part of the filter for some of those layoffs or the people that might need to be let go, but sometimes these are department downsizing where they're sort of indiscriminately putting people back into the job pool in the market. So if you're an employer looking for people, there's actually probably a bunch of really hungry people that are ready to come to your company and try really hard given the opportunity. And so it's sort of like a sifting, it feels like a sifting out of some of those employees that would rather not put their pants on and come back to work, and the other ones that are willing to do more and be a little hungry. And you should actually, there should be a flood of the market of those people potentially.
Yeah. You know, we heard a story that I think it was Amazon. I don't know what the region was, but they were trying to hire people. Their advertisement, Karen saw in one of these ads, it said, "Work for us, no interview required."
That's so ridiculous.
Like a person, don't worry, we're not even going to make you speak to us before you come to work. And it is comical. I mean, it's like tragicomic, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, we've actually come to believe that that's one of the impediments to work is that you might have to do an interview. And I think this is about to change. And I feel really bad for all the people who have come into the workforce in the last 4 or 5 years who are thinking, oh, well, I'll be fine. It's going to be kind of a rude awakening. And if you're one of those young people out there or a person rethinking their career, effort is going to be important again. And it's the key differentiator. It always has been.
The other thing that's happening, Pat, we talked about it from the employee standpoint. We've talked about it from the employer standpoint. But I'm also thinking of this as like collectively as human beings, the people who these goods and services are being sold to, we kind of have to demand this of the industries that we're like, if collectively as a society, we're not saying, well, I'm not going to patronage that business because they're not trying, then it will generally morph into that. That's where it will settle, you know? And I had a funny experience. I don't think I told you about this, Pat, but typically after these happen, I call you on the phone because we both get a giggle out of them. But I went to this was when my wife was 9 months pregnant. I was coming home from an event that I was at and like needed to pick up dinner. We hadn't had dinner and it was late. And she said, I wanted a quesadilla. So I went to a very popular Mexican food store that you can get quesadillas at. And I walk in, it's 9 p.m. I'm the only person in the line. And there's a few people like in the restaurant. And I said, hey, I see a picture of this new steak that they're offering. And I'm like, hey, can I get a burrito with that steak? And they're like, oh no, I'm sorry. That's only available if you order on the app. And I was like, wow, that's wildly confusing to me, but that's fine. And then I said, well, there's a picture of it right there. Very confusing. And then I asked them, can I get a quesadilla? My wife wants a quesadilla. And they said, oh no, we only make children's quesadillas here. You can't get the full-size quesadilla unless you order on the app. And I said, I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time understanding this interaction. And you know me, I tend to get a little frustrated. I was not as frustrated as I feel like it was warranted there. So I said, hey, I really don't understand. So I would have to download the app and order a quesadilla. And they said, yes. And I said, is there someone here I could talk to? So they brought the manager over and she's relayed the same message. You need to download the app. And what she said was, well, this is a good way to get people to download the app. And I said, I beg to differ. This is a good way for people to email your establishment and say, take a hike. I'm never coming back again. And so and she tried to explain it to me. And I said, listen, I have a 9-month pregnant wife at home. I understand this is not your policy. It's not a good one in general, but there's no one else in line here. Can you guys make me a quesadilla? And she ended up making me a quesadilla. I just couldn't believe, like, it made me want to write this chain a letter that says, who do you think we are? Like, I'm standing in front of a picture of this steak with a menu with a quesadilla on it. I just want to order it. And if we collectively say that's okay, then soon that's all we're going to have access to. So that's maybe the little bit of the old man on the porch scenario, but that was
not my favorite. It's actually interesting to think that somebody would go, oh, okay. And then they just pull out their phone and download the app and do it that way. I think that's called insanity.
Right.
I mean, I think this is like from a dystopian novel or a movie where people actually do things that don't make any sense.
Yes.
Just because somebody put in a rule and somebody's going to follow it and it doesn't really make any sense. And I do think what you're saying is good. It's like, let's not reward that or even abide by it so that people come back to common sense. It's like, hey, this is a business about you're a person, you have food in front of you. I'm a person, I have a mouth, I have money, I want to give it to you so I can eat that food. And pretty much none of that other stuff matters. That might be a guideline. And the best restaurants, the best hotels, the best airlines, the best consulting firms, the best everything uses their judgment. Karen wrote me a note, a little working genius note just now. She says, I'm not sure that person had good discernment.
Right.
Because the manager should have gone, make these people a darn quesadilla. Hey, sir, if you would download that app, we'd really appreciate it. Now, she would have turned you into a fan. As it turns out, we almost want to say the name of this restaurant because we can't believe they did that.
And what's crazy is that same restaurant probably has the audacity to ask you, now all the tips are electronic and they flip their screen around and they ask you, they start at 20% oftentimes. Mm-hmm. And it's ridiculous. The service level is ridiculously low and they want more from you.
Well, yeah. I think what it does for me, Pat, as we're having this conversation, is one of the things that I love about business and the world of work and what we get to do is help these companies that they know why they exist and they know how they behave and they know what they do and how they're going to succeed is that in its purest form, business is a meritocracy. It's like if you offer a good and service that is better than your competitor, you should win. And it feels like there's this, we're backing off that premise entirely to say like, well, you know, this is just how it is now. And there's a real opportunity for businesses to stand out that say, hey, we're going to change our standards. We're going to up our standards and not do what is industry standard, but for the sake of standing out and winning in the market instead of just being, you know, compliant.
Yeah. And meritocracy is good. It's good for people's dignity. If I do well, I will get rewarded. If I don't, there are consequences. Mm-hmm. And that actually jives with human nature. People want to know that's true. And if you've ever worked in a place where people who did a great job didn't get rewarded and people did a poor job did because of politics or tenure or something like that, it's really, it hurts. And it makes you feel crazy. Like, is this world upside down? So I guess what we're saying here is the secret to success is to try to give a darn. Reward people who do it, reward businesses who do it in your business so people will reward you, and maybe we'll get back to a place where that becomes kind of the norm, and that really is better for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Hey, before we end, let's do an unpaid commercial. Do you guys have anything for me?
Okay, we have to tell people the truth. Before the episode started, we tried this, and we were like, where's some place we went recently where somebody tried? Karen came up with one. She said her esthetician, whenever she orders anything from him, he actually drives by and puts it in her mailbox for her.
Wow.
So that's pretty cool.
That is cool.
Yeah, we spent about 3.5 to 5 minutes trying, like racking our brains for who should we throw into this segment because we would love to see businesses try. And it wasn't the Mexican restaurant that I was at. I'm not nominating them, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Matt also tried to title this episode, Cody Vents About Poor Service. That was the alternative title to this episode.
And we wanted Matt to go out and find the cricket sound so we could do crickets during that. Now, there are companies out there doing it. And by the way, send them to us. If you have a great story about how your organization cares, we would love to make that our commercial. So yep. Go ahead and send that to podcast@tablegroup.com and say, here's how we care. We really do. And we know there's a lot of businesses out there that do, but yeah, or nominate somebody else. Yeah, nominate a company that does try.
Oh, I like that.
Matt didn't want me to use this because it's an old example, but I do love this example. At Southwest Airlines once, you know, once they close the doors, it's really hard to open them up because of, you know, the federal regulations and all that. But somebody left their phone back at the gate and the door closed and the plane had pulled away from the gate. And so they're just sitting there and somebody at Southwest ran onto the tarmac and they put a ladder there and they lifted up the phone and a pilot opened the little window and reached down and grabbed the phone for the person. And I think that is cool. So trying matters. And that's why there's so many great stories about companies that try.
I had no idea that the windows in the cockpit you could roll down, and that's alarming to me on an airplane. So I'd prefer those windows stay up, up, up. So
I wonder how bad. Okay, I can't believe I'm going to say this. I wonder how bad somebody would have to fart in the cockpit for that pilot to think I'm going to roll down that window.
You had to go there, Pat.
I wonder if they have a little, I don't think you can out there, but anyway, I can't believe we just said that on the air, but you know, we're all thinking things like that. And yes, they can roll down those windows. So, hey, everybody, go out there and try, reward people who try. It's the new normal. We're going to make it even better. And we appreciate you listening to us on At the Table. God bless.